Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evildoing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 23, and we're going to read it responsively. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second reading is from Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access and one to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that he might that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This past week, one of my high school classmates posted an image of himself with Harrison Ford. This was in celebration of Harrison Ford's 79th birthday. You see, they're both wearing the same lab coat. It turns out that 12 years ago, my high school classmate played the role of stand-in for Harrison Ford during the filming of a movie. Now, my friend, whom I do not recall as being all that tall, stood a couple inches taller than Ford. In fact, my friend said in the post that he was surprised by Harrison Ford's height when he saw him the first time, when he met him the first time. Part of our cultural story is that famously recognizable people often do not get recognized. People don't expect to see them where they see them. People suspect they are seeing someone, well, who just happens to look a lot like that famous person. There are a whole number of ways that people fail to recognize the celebrities, the famous ones in their midst. So what I find extraordinary is that Jesus cannot enter a community without people recognize him. This is before social media, before any media. This is all word of mouth. And yet word precedes him. People recognize Jesus for his actions, his teaching, and possibly for his entourage, all those people who traveled with him. In their encounter with Jesus, there are hopes. They bring their sick. They bring their deepest needs to Jesus, hoping and expecting, begging for relief. The episodes we hear today start out with the disciples returning with reports of the incredible things they were able to accomplish in their missionary journey. You may remember 2 weeks ago, the church heard Jesus send those disciples out with instructions to announce the good news and with authority to heal the sick and cast out unclean spirits. That's heady stuff. Now, upon their return, the disciples receive another instruction: rest. Take some time away. Of course, though, Jesus just can't go anywhere without crowds pressing in on him, pressing in with hope. And so that raises questions for me. So What expectations do people press in to worship with? Is there the expectation of healing, of restoration, of new life? How might touching the hem of Jesus in the sharing of word and sacrament accomplish these things for us? Is there an expectation to be sent out into the world, announcing the promises of forgiveness, of life, of restoration? How might the faithful who gather and are sent out from worship, well, to serve the Lord, to be the body of Christ, how might the faithful accomplish great deeds of power in a world that is struggling? To be sure, there is polarization in this time. There is also resurgent pandemic. There is conflict within families, within communities, and within and among nations. For so many, this time is filled with so many concerns. Physical health suffers, mental health suffers, spiritual health suffers. So another question that arises is this: among the expectations, is there an expectation to rest? Step away to a quiet place. Unplug from the immediacy of electronic connectedness, of social media and cell phones and text messages and all of those things that claim our time. There's another meme out there. It says, Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus. There is certainly something restorative and holy about rest. And as we hear the scripture readings offer up a contrast among rulers, those rulers who are horrible shepherds, abusing and scattering the sheep, and those shepherds who are good, leading their followers to good food, to good drink, to good rest, to good protection. The contrast follows through with Jesus, who shepherds his disciples with an invitation to rest and still responds to the needs of those who continually presses in on him with their expectations. To be sure, expect Jesus to bring healing in your life, whether your need is grounded in relationships, in your intellectual health, in your mental health, in your physical health. With expectations, attend to all the ways that Jesus brings restoration in surprising ways that may not match our plans and designs. To be sure, go out being and sharing God's loving forgiveness and life with others. Tell the story of Jesus bringing restoration and new life, announcing good news. And with that mission, be watchful for the ways that Jesus is already acting in and through those around you. To be sure, rest. Follow Jesus' lead to engage the restorative power of a good nap or taking time that our culture too easily condemns as lazy. In this worship, it is in worship that the faithful come for the restoration, may even find some rest, and are sent out in mission. For indeed, at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, we seek to share Christ in faith, in fellowship, and in service. May this collective mission be so successful that everyone will recognize Jesus everywhere he already is. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.